The left owns the culture. The left owns the culture. Liberals control the media, virtually all of it, and some of those so-called liberals are, in fact, radicals. They are radically anti-conservative, even anti-American, at least the way America is, or America was, and ever increasingly radically anti-Christian, among other things. One film after another, one TV show, one novel, one blog, one website, all after one another, and the anti-American conservative drumbeat goes on and on, from the liberal left. How, so many wonder, did the left gain control, virtually absolute control of the arts, the media, when they were once so very conservative and pro-American? Think of the great films once made, like The Ten Commandments, or The Sound of Music, or Camelot, or Ben-Hur, and its great actor Charlton Heston, or the old westerns of television like Bonanza, or the truly great comedic television programming like I Love Lucy, or The Golden Girls, or Red Skelton, or back to the beginning of the television era and a comedian like Milton Berle. And so many other illustrations of clean, non-politicized, pro-American, and real values-oriented programming and people. The great Charlton Heston was marginalized at his death even after he fell victim to Alzheimer's, tolerated in a sense, but really in essence ridiculed by contemporary Hollywood. All that, all gone, and replaced with a totally different genre of showbiz, politicized content and material, and most importantly, drama and fiction which ignores history and especially ignores fact and truth. Hollywood really has conservatives on the run. It seems as though conservative reality is more often portrayed in disguised form as sort of fantasy. Conservatism is fictional. It's vague. It is for sure irrelevant. And by contrast, leftist or radical fantasy or wishing comes disguised as reality. It drives home philosophic points. It produces indelible memory events and absolutely wins the cultural wars. The left seems determined to rewrite history through movies. The left even more wants to win the hearts and minds of the younger generations and to attack and confront those perhaps more mature who embrace conservative values and mores, at least to some extent. Stories can be retold as fiction, as drama with emotion, and consequently upstage or distort the truth in so many ways. The Hollywood controlled and financed by liberals and radicals does just that. It preempts the entertainment field, and no matter diversity or tolerance, Hollywood seeks to crush or at least marginalize anything conservative and so often pro-American. Those anti-conservatives running Hollywood often remain under the radar. But there are men like Steven Spielberg and Jeffrey Katzenberg of DreamWorks Productions. These productions finance and control literally billions of dollars in Hollywood assets. Men and companies like these control and invariably control for the benefit of the left. The left. Steven Spielberg is a production genius. He has produced some incredible films, such as The Color Purple. Many of his films are great works of movie art. But Steven Spielberg is a patron saint of the liberal left. No matter what emanates from his company DreamWorks, it seems ironic that Spielberg was entirely ethical and true to the facts as much as possible and as much as he knew as he made the unforgettable movie Schindler's List. What a great movie. If you haven't seen that, you should. There are occasional anomalies, but Hollywood, in control of the arts, goes left whenever possible. Take, for example, Ben Affleck, actor and producer, and very good at both. Affleck directed and starred in the Oscar-winning film Argo. The plot was a thrilling history-based tale of escape with an all-American hero. To that extent, it was good theater. But Argo was also a dishonest rewrite of history, in that it blamed the United States and the British as meddling in Iranian hostage crisis affairs of 1979. And it carefully buried and sanitized Democrat President Jimmy Carter's fatal incompetence during the crisis. Further, the movie eradicated the role of Ronald Reagan's election in bringing the crisis to a conclusion, so that, Bottom line, Argo was in fact a very good movie, which was made with very bad history. But such is life in Hollywood, where no matter the truth or fact, the film as made must be politically correct, and it must follow the party that is the left, the party line. Let's not let history as was get in the way. Kelsey Grammer is an excellent actor with considerable comedic talents. For years, he had the hit television series Frasier. Unfortunately for Mr. Grammer, he was and is a conservative and a strong one. And like others, he has been blackballed or marginalized by Hollywood and the media. When any conservative actor becomes a target, the left at work can be brutal, vindictive, and hateful. The radical left, of course, accuses conservatives of hate speech, when in fact the left is far more hateful in speech than any conservative. Attacking, condemning, criticizing, and ostracizing anyone or any kind of thinking with which it disagrees. And not just Kelsey Grammer, but Gary Sinise, Clint Eastwood, Bruce Willis, John Voight, just to name some. They are all conservative, actors, pro-American, and to the extent possible, marginalized or blackballed by the left, the Hollywood controlling left. Unfortunately for them, there is little they can do to blackball Clint Eastwood, who after all these years can produce and finance anything he wishes. Good for him. And virtually the same with Bruce Willis or Arnold Schwarzenegger, somewhat conservative or at least pro-American, and Sylvester Stallone. Hollywood loves to ridicule Stallone, no matter the fact that he has made some of the most successful and financially profitable movies of all time. Witness the Rocky series, 6 of them, which continue to this day to be incredibly popular and as well profitable. But the left will try to marginalize nonetheless. And then there was Mel Gibson, once a Hollywood favorite. Gibson had the audacity to make the great film The Passion of the Christ. And that was the end of him. Scorned, ridiculed, marginalized, and vilified, one writer actually said that Gibson, like the Christ he portrayed, was equally and as painfully crucified by Hollywood and the left. The analogy is a bit troublesome, but the point is well made. And most people know the name Andrew Breitbart. Breitbart was a conservative activist and determined to reform or compete with the radical left in the arts and in Hollywood. Breitbart is quoted as saying the following, "I am saying, why didn't we, that is the conservatives, why didn't we invest 20 years ago in a movie studio in Hollywood? Why didn't we invest in creating television shows? Why didn't we, the conservatives, create institutions that would reflect and affirm that which is good about America? Why? Why have we abandoned the cultural arena to the left, the radical, the godless, even the immoral left? Why? For it is certainly true that the conscience of a race is forged in the soul of the nation's artists. Culture, especially radical culture, is more powerful, more influential, a greater teacher than those in academia itself. An incredibly well-made movie, steeped in emotion and passion, produces memory moments indelibly lodged, and which will guide thinking and even action, perhaps forevermore. We the viewers will interpret hard fact and reality, often hard to accept, through the emotional lens of movie making, and we will accept in return the truth of the movie, often over the truth of life. The most powerful movie producers like Spielberg, like Affleck, like Coppola can rewrite history with their movies if they wish. Poets are the unacknowledged legislators of the world. Let me repeat that. Poets are the unacknowledged legislators of the world. So said the great poet Percy Bysshe Shelley, that in the year 1821. And indeed they are, poets and actors. And Hollywood. Anything well written, powerful, potent, and passionate can serve as truth, ultimate truth for the reader or the viewer. The arts at their best, their finest, their highest, can rule the world philosophically, intellectually, and politically. That truism is expressed as follows. Politics is downstream of culture. Don't you like that? Politics is downstream of culture. Andrew Breitbart often quoted that saying, which of course means that as culture goes, so goes politics. That is, culture, the arts, the media, Hollywood sets the standards, the values, or the lack thereof, for the politics, the legislation which follows. That is why, indeed, Barack Hussein Obama and his administration are so intent, so demanding in terms of making certain that Hollywood toes the line, the Obama party line, not only with a radical or liberal slant, but with a pro-Obama endorsement and approbation. Obama, intelligent and crafty, he understands full well the power of a radical Hollywood in his behalf. Unfortunately, a man like Andrew Breitbart was indeed uncommon. He was rare in Hollywood and part of a conservative movement that all too often succumbs to the self-righteous pleasures of criticism and withdrawal. As the writer Andrew Clavin, a very good one, stated, quote, "Conservatives too often wallow in the easy satisfaction of condemning the artistic creations of the left, while never daring to try to match them with original content of their own." Well said. How true. It is easy to criticize and condemn sex and nudity and pornography, or decry the rise of the anti-American hero, or rant regarding the new preeminent positioning of all things gay, or rail at violence and especially blasphemy. But then the modus operandi is to withdraw, we conservatives do, and do nothing. And so the left wins by default. The left controls and dominates and utilizes as weapons the arts and culture. And the left wins the battle for the hearts and minds of America, and especially the young. Andrew Breitbart wanted to do something, not talk, but do. Breitbart realized that by the time the fight with the left became political, which it now has, there is often little possibility to win the day by means of argument or counterpositioning. The battle has already been decided in movies and on television, in novels and in popular songs that over time create an atmosphere, even a dogmatism of what is right and what is wrong. Or, in Hollywood terms, what is cool, or what is in, and what is not. Hollywood sets the standards for what it takes to be, in the words of Joseph Conrad, one of us. One of us. Inclusion. Belonging. Conservatives have lost the battle even before it has been fought. American history has been virtually rewritten at the movies. There is no one leader of this radical cultural Hollywood left. There does not need to be one. The understanding, that which is politically correct and acceptable, the underlying philosophy and culture, all are understood as the law of the land. None need to be verbalized, nor is a leader necessary. Virtually everyone in a position of authority and control and power and financial capability, virtually everyone understands the rules. They accept completely, and they require others to do the same. It is a self-sustaining, enabling philosophy with an iron grip on the arts and culture and the media, and almost always conservatives fight a losing battle. Andrew Breitbart wanted wealthy conservatives to band together, invest in a major production studio, produce films with strong values and which were pro-American, and compete for public attention and dollars. Breitbart wanted the production of television shows and cable, and of course radio, and as well print, novels, newspapers and the like, the whole nine yards. Breitbart had a vision, like Fox News, of boring from within, and positioning conservatism as a cultural competitor to the radical left. To be sure, there are good conservative movies made. There is conservative content at work, but nowhere near the quantity and often the quality of the left. The new technology allows that, and of course, there is television and radio, like my very own company, which stands for conservative and constitutional values, and is pro-American in every way possible. We, all of us, lead the charge, the countercharge in the countercultural warfare of today. Yesterday, years past, conservatives were the majority and ruled the day. Now, says Breitbart, conservatives must engage in guerrilla warfare and challenge and confront and, most importantly, compete compete with the left in the highest possible qualitative terms. That's the key, the highest possible quality. No mediocre product will suffice. Equal to or better than the Hollywood of today, that's the only way. Every American and every Christian wants entertainment. In fact, we need it. Not every movie or television show or novel can be perfect as we would wish. Our emotional and moral filters can extract the good from the bad, but we need entertainment which is fair and balanced, and most importantly, entertainment and drama which does not corrupt or ignore the truth and fact. We must decry the license of the left. Leftist Hollywood claims freedom to do as they wish, but in fact what they do is not the product of freedom, but of license. License without standards, and often morals, except their very own. Conservatives, by and large, would approach the arts with standards, with the highest regard for truth and fact and history as it was and as it will be. And most importantly, conservatives would approach country, our beloved America, as it is, emphasizing its great opportunities, its magnificent way of life, its constitutional freedoms and values in the most positive and supporting ways, unlike the left. We need not only entertainment content like that, but men and women who will make those decisions and control and finance and otherwise make certain that the arts become far more objective and fair. But there is hope, even progress for Christians and conservatives with respect to the arts. There are good things happening with respect to faith films this very year. Phil Contrino, Vice President and Chief Analyst at BoxOffice.com, states the following. It's no surprise that Hollywood is aiming films at religious crowds in a major way this year. Contrino goes on to state, religious moviegoers are a very important part of the population, and they, Christians, want to see their beliefs and ideals represented in major Hollywood movies. It is important for Hollywood to really listen to what these crowds want and to not make assumptions. Amen. Amen, Mr. Contrino. So now comes Noah, a large-budget epic starring Russell Crowe, no less. He of Gladiator fame. One great movie was that. Noah, which already is a financial success. And there follows Noah, the movie Son of God. That was a follow-up to the unexpectedly successful The Bible, which will also be very profitable. And the movie God's Not Dead, a low-budget independent film, but already profitable because of the large crowd turnout. Sounds good so far, doesn't it? Reminds me of the old saying that if you build it, they will come. The question, of course, is whether or not these are isolated anomalies, that is, opportunities to make money, or the start of a trend to clean up Hollywood and produce films with conservative and Christian values. Boy, I sure hope it's the latter. Do recall that Kirk Cameron's faith-based film, Fireproof, produced in 2008, was the highest-grossing independent movie of that year. Isn't that great? Perhaps it only took the rather biased Hollywood 6 years to understand that making such movies was not only the right thing to do, but the way to make further profit as well. Gotta make the bucks. Conservatives will have no right to complain unless they play the game and play it hard, and most importantly, produce the highest quality products to in fact compete with secular Hollywood. We can do that. We must invest. We must own and control. Conservatives should hire, support, and encourage actors and writers and producers who are conservative and understand the values which Hollywood desperately needs. Conservatives must be far more active in creating distribution, allies, cooperation, and the like. The best of everything and everyone must be the standard, not just to compete, but to beat Hollywood at its very own game. That can be done, for some of the most creative people in the arts are in fact conservative, whether open or hidden, at least in part conservative, or they can work and produce objectively for that cultural purpose. Conservative content done right is highly profitable. Witness the incredible earnings of The Passion of the Christ. Mel Gibson has become one of the wealthiest men in the entertainment world as a result. conservative production, and even control of Hollywood can be accomplished, and it must be done. Those who believe conservative moneymakers in America must stand up and invest and challenge, aggressively challenge the radical left. The arts, even at their very least, are one of humanity's most noble enterprises. They have been, in the words of Andrew Clavin, hijacked by adherents of a low and oppressive ideology, that is, the radical left. Clavin then emphatically states, we should take them back. We should take the arts back. We the conservatives should indeed. If in fact poets are the unacknowledged legislators of the world, as the great poet Shelley has said, then the laws and values of our society, our great country, will be formed and fashioned by the poets, the artists, the producers, those who control the arts and entertainment. And that should be us. That should be we, the conservative people.